deep dive into Principle 3. Hello, and welcome to the deep dive into Principle 3, which is, if you have been paying attention, make strong choices. Principle 1 is the foundation of our entire practice. It is care. And the tool behind Principle 1 is the foundation of every caring choice that we make moving forward. It is to play the part, right? PART is our acronym in Principle 1 to help us remember the tool, to help us be able to whip it out at a moment's notice, no matter what's going on in life, when we are faced with a choice, or when we are suddenly faced with a flood of emotion, or when we are suddenly faced with the weird flatlined, no noise, no emotion situation where we're not sure that we're feeling anything and we're kind of bored, but we feel kind of empty and we feel unmoored and we don't know what to do or where to go or where to look. And we feel overwhelmed because there are so many things that we could do that we feel paralyzed and we stand there and do nothing. No matter what kind of moment it is, no matter where we're standing, no matter what has come before or what is about to come down the pipe, playing the part gives us the structure and the ability to become mindful, show up for ourselves in a meaningful and loving way by feeling our feelings, whatever the hell they happen to be, without needing to label them, without in any way judging them or ourselves for having them, gives us the ability and the structure to make the most caring choice that is available to us in that moment, and then invites us to talk after the fact about what the pleasurable results of having made that choice were, so that we can begin to shine a light on the pleasure that results from caring choices, so that we can begin to become familiar with those. Because after 10 or 20 or 50 years of abusing and neglecting our bodies, our health, our needs, we are all too familiar with the pain. We are all too familiar with the struggle, right? We are all too familiar with the sense of powerlessness and insanity and feeling out of control, or, you know, some very directly physical results of the neglect and abuse that we subject ourselves and our bodies to, like bloating, like allergic reactions, like, you know, just getting to a place size-wise that feels as though it makes everything in life difficult to do, that feels as though it makes life difficult to participate in. We make the caring choice, and then we talk about the deep pleasure that results, right? The deep pleasures, and we're going to talk a lot about them today, are peace, accomplishment, comfort, and empowerment. And another acronym that we have so that we can remember that is PACE, the PACE pleasures: peace, accomplishment, comfort, specifically physical, and empowerment. We learn to associate these finite, defined, caring choices with the deep pleasure that resonates out from them. And those choices become easier to make because peace feels really good to wake up into. Because feeling comfortable in your body and in your own skin is where you want, how you want to live your life, right? Feeling accomplished and empowered to make the choices that you need to make, to do the shit you need to do, to get whatever done that you need to get done so that you can free up psychic space and enjoy the people that you love and the activities that you love, or, you know, just whatever you want to do with your time becomes more available to you, and you become more available to it when you are focusing on choices, making choices that result in deep pleasure. So that's the foundation of our practice. That is Principle 1. We moved on to Principle 2, which is generate motivation. And our tool for that is Now Do Everything, which is not an order. It's just a reminder. I am not asking, nor will I ever ask, for you to do everything now, because that is something that triggers panic and a sense of inability. And of course it does, because it's impossible. You can only do one thing at a time. Well, you're female, so you can do 9 things at a time. But you certainly can't do everything, right? Now Do Everything is just a memory tool. Now insists that we encourage us. Trying to use less like hard and heavy language, right? Trying to gentle down the language, right? To speak more like a yoga journal than a popular mechanics issue, because I hear that is, you know, it's much, much easier to take it in if it's written more like a yoga journal. Now encourages us lovingly, but firmly, to focus on internal goals as opposed to instrumental goals. Internal goals are goals that are directly related to the action that needs to be taken in order to meet them. For instance, eating right now with the goal in mind to eliminate hunger, as opposed to eating right now, eating this specific thing right now, so that a year and a half from now, you will have lost 80 pounds, right? A distant goal like that, where the step that you have to take in this moment in order to get there is that the two are barely relatable, certainly not temporally relatable. And no choice that you can make today can bring about a goal that takes a year and a half to reach. It just so happens that you need to meet certain goals every single day for that year and a half to get there, right? And thinking of the enormity of that span of time and all the things that could come up and all the obstacles that could get in your way and all the moments that will certainly arise where you don't want to eat the nourishing food and you'll feel sort of socially pressured to eat the monkey brains or whatever it is, the beast will be there to remind you of all of the reasons why making this goal is ridiculous, because you can't possibly keep it. You can't possibly meet it every day for a year and a half, because so many obstacles and so many things. And then you get so discouraged and you feel like you've made a crazy choice and this is a crazy commitment and why have I done this? And your ability to then meet that goal day after day after day after day is fighting an uphill battle every single day. It is a challenge. It is a Herculean effort to continue, even in that moment, to meet that goal because you feel so discouraged. And, you know, I'm using food, but this is around anything. So in order to have the ability to generate, maintain, and build motivation, it is pragmatic and important for us to focus on meeting goals that can be met right now, making choices that will bring about deep pleasure in the moment that we are in and in the afternoon that is to come, right? Instrumental goals be damned, long-term goals be damned. There's too much room for error. It feels too big. It's too far out. So we keep it in the day. We keep it in the now. We keep our focus where our hands and our feet are in this moment. Do is our call to action. It is it's a funny thing. We can do anything we choose to do, whether or not we feel motivated to do it. Ask anyone who's ever been a parent. If you're a parent, you know, the baby starts to scream at 2:45 in the morning. Are you interested in getting out of bed and dealing with whatever needs to be dealt with in order to quiet that situation down, you're motivated to roll over and put the pillow over your ear and be like, maybe she'll just fall back asleep. Maybe it's just one of those, 3-second cries. Maybe she's just having a nightmare and everything. But we get up because we are that person's sole primary caretaker. Maybe not sole, and maybe not even primary, but stick with me for the metaphor, okay? We do not need to feel motivated to take caring action. And thank God, because most of us, especially when we come into the principles, are seriously lacking any sense of motivation. Like, we've had it in the past, we've experienced maybe brief flashes of it, maybe even extended flashes of it, but right now, I've fallen into this rut. I've been living in this rut for years. I've been wearing this pattern, deep into the grooves of my consciousness and my life. But I know I could be doing better, and I know that I could be feeling better, and coffee seems to feel better, and there's other women like me who are feeling better because, okay, I'll try it. And then you sign up and you come into the community. And you wonder, okay, well, where's my motivation? I've committed to do this thing. Like, where's my zhuzh? Where's my energy? Where is the juice? And the juice is hiding in the actions. The zhuzh is hiding in the choices. Once you begin to take action, only then are you opening yourself up to experiencing the deep pleasure that results from those choices. And that's where motivation lives. You cannot expect to go from 0 to 60 without taking action. You can't expect to feel invigorated and motivated and driven until you've experienced the pleasure that results from making choices based on your own care. Based on taking deep care, fabulous, loving care of yourself. So now is focusing on goals that can be met today. Do is taking action, taking caring action, taking the most caring action that you are capable of in the moment when you play the part, regardless of how you feel about taking that action, so that you can experience the pleasure that results, so that you can feel more motivated to do it the next time. And everything is just that, is an invitation to move away from the myopic thinking of diet and exercise, or diet and diet, or diet, just, and to pull out and take a bird's eye view of everything that you do that impacts how you feel, which is everything that you do, every choice that you make. And they're all interwoven, so that if you begin to make more loving choices, more caring choices around your sleep, like shutting down all the screens, turning out all the lights, and having your head on the pillow a half an hour before you need to be asleep, actually, so that your brain has a chance to come in for a gentle landing and drift off into la-la land. When you do that, when you make that caring choice, you wake up to a first minute that feels better, certainly, than the alternative, where you feel like your brain has been defragmented, like an old Windows computer, right? And maybe you breathe a little more deeply, and maybe you feel a little more comfortable in your body. And maybe you don't feel quite so overwhelmed. And maybe because you got to bed at a decent hour, your eyes open before the alarm goes off, and you don't talk yourself out of getting out of bed. You get up because you can, and you're ready, and you go to the kitchen, and you turn on the water, and you do whatever it is that makes it a nice morning for you, so that you can set yourself up for success in that day. If you've done that, if you've gotten that sleep, you best believe that every single caring choice that you hope and plan to make that day, every daily goal you hope to meet, you plan to meet, and we'll talk about daily goals because we're talking about Principle 3, every single one of those becomes easier because you're starting from a well-rested and capable place. Paying bills informs whether or not or how or the quality of your exercise, right? Returning phone calls will have an impact on whether or not you go to sleep at a decent hour, right? Dealing with all of the things that you ruminate on to the extent that you can, to the extent that they are available today to be dealt with, frees up mental and emotional space that can then be used in service to making other caring choices. So if you are practicing the pleasure principles in this community with me, and you came in here specifically to get a handle on food, welcome, and you are in the right place. And doing that necessitates pulling out and seeing every aspect of your life as an opportunity to make more caring choices. And if you can practice doing that, if you can commit to practicing that every day, your relationship to food will heal some over time, whether or not you ever specifically target that. Because everything becomes easier. Every caring choice becomes easier and more natural to make when you're making caring choices in other facets of your life. Now do everything. Which brings us to principle 3, which is make strong choices. As opposed to making weak choices, making foolish choices, making foolhardy choices, making selfish choices? I'm not sure. But strong choices felt like, well, A, it was on brand, I have to admit, sorry. But it felt like the right term because we are here to make decisions for how we live our lives as empowered women in the world, right? We're not making choices. We're not trying to meet someone else's expectations. We practice moving away from having that as our goal and moving toward making choices that are right for us, that are appropriate for us, that make us feel stronger and more empowered. Make strong choices. And the tool, the acronym, in Principle 3 is LIFE, right? I invite you to make strong choices for life. Now, the LIFE acronym can be very helpful in when we're sitting down at the kitchen table and trying to figure out what we are applying the pleasure principles to, what choices, what goals, right? It's the LIFE acronym that helps us work that out. And LIFE stands for, L is loving. We're making loving choices. Loving is a very difficult word for some of us. For those of us who are a little on the darker end of the spectrum, you might the eye roll might be so hard that you might see the top or the bottom side of your brain in the process of doing that. Like, oh, just loving. You know, and if that's true for you, it's true for me too, and I'm not gonna hold it against you. I get it. So sub in care, right? And I say that in the course itself. If loving feels a little too much, care is fine. So we're making loving choices. We're making intelligent choices. And I also mentioned in the course that I struggled for a while with whether to have the I in life represent intuition or intelligence. And we're not, the intuition, it's muddy waters in there. It's muddy waters because we are, perhaps you specifically are a woman who, like me, has struggled with shame and abuse and neglect, not just of myself, but from others, you know, in childhood and later life. And that makes the intuition piece, the gut, the instincts, it can make it not self-serving, right? Sometimes growing up in a household that encourages shame, in a household where there is addiction of any kind, in a household where there has been a divorce, in a household where one or more caregivers has been or is incarcerated, in a household where you are part of a minority group, including people with disabilities, if you grew up in poverty. You know, there are so many different, there are so many different factors that contribute to growing up saddled with shame. And if any of that has been true for you, then your instincts are not necessarily going to serve you, because you might be compelled to do things from a gut place, from a this is right place, this is absolutely where I'm supposed to channel my energy, and this is the path I'm supposed to follow. But hindsight and looking at it through the lens of experience, you go, holy shit, what was I thinking? Right? For those of you who can say, yes, I'm someone who had a first marriage, you might, you know, might be very clear to you that, like, oh my God, my instincts. Or, you know, you perhaps made a gut decision around work or school or moving to a certain place. Who knows? Who knows what? But you know, with some time and some practice, some hindsight and some honest reflection, that your instincts are not necessarily always on your side, not always encouraging you to make the most caring choice that you could, which is why the I in Making Strong Choices for Life stands for intellect, because you are a smart cookie. You have so much experience with getting burned on that hot stove. Even though your gut was like, oh, just touch it. Oh, it's okay. Look how shiny, pretty. You know up here things that your gut has not internalized, things that your intuition has not accepted as truth. And I ask you to call on all of that experience, all of that information, all of those smarts to help you to figure out what are the strongest choices for you to make, what your daily goals and healthy boundaries while you're practicing the pleasure principles for life are going to be. Okay. So loving, caring, intelligent, right? And will bring you deep pleasure in the future and every day. That's the F and the E, right? Will this choice for the future, will this choice made day after day after day, whether it's something that you're trying to bring into the rotation or something that you're trying to eliminate from the landscape, will making this choice every single day for the next year, say, create and encourage and support me experiencing more deep pleasure, peace, accomplishment, comfort, and empowerment? And importantly, right, because that's sort of a, that's, that sounds a lot like, you know, an instrumental goal. Like, well, you just told me that it's critical for me to focus on the now. Of course it's critical for you to focus on the now, because if you focus on the long-term goal, you're going to get discouraged. You're not going to be able to make the choice day after day. But you're intelligent and you're pragmatic, and you know that making a choice, the same choice, 365 days in a row is going to have an impact. You must be able to determine on paper with your brain that making this choice 365 days in a row is going to be beneficial to you. Once you have determined that, then it gets a check mark next to the F in life, and then you can move on to the E, which is every day. Is this choice going to bring me deep pleasure today and every day that I make it? Because if it's not, then why would I continue to make it? If it's not going to bring me peace, if it's not going to bring me more comfort in my body, if it's not going to bring me more of the things that I so desperately crave, why would I do that? And where would your motivation come from? So making strong choices for life, Now, to take these a little deeper so that we can think about them and apply them, you know, today directly, and I hope that you will. I hope that you will listen to this video, listen to this audio, however it is you're taking this in, right? And afterwards, I hope that you will sit down with the worksheets from the principal site and map out what are going to be your daily goals, what are going to be the healthy boundaries that you uphold each and every day, and get those things down on paper. And if you're not sure if something is right, then you vet them against life. Loving, intelligent for the future and for every day. So what does it mean to make a loving choice? What does love look like? What does care look like? Sadly, it is not always giving in to desire in the moment. I wish that it did. I wish that it was. I wish that that were true. I wish that on Sunday, when I was at the fair with my 7-year-old and my 5-year-old, I wish that every single time they ran up to me and said, "Mommy, we want blah, 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 blah." And you know, it's a fair. It's the Eastern States Exposition. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. The Big E, where all the states in New England get together-ish in this gigantic motherload of a exposition center. I don't know. It's huge. And there's like 10 giant brick buildings where people sell all kinds of crap. And then there's smaller buildings that each represent the state. And there's at least 300 food trucks of all kinds, deep fried butter and deep fried Kool-Aid, you know, full long hot dogs and ice cream and crazy ass, like battered, deep fried, you know, sugar coated, freaking, I don't even know what, like just everything. And they're just inundated, their little brains. And of course, you know, they are already, because they're mine, hedonists and pleasure seekers. And the minute they smell something that smells good, and the minute they see something that looks interesting, and the minute they see another kid with something, they run up to me and they're like, mommy, please. And I want them to be happy, and I want them to have everything that they ever want. Except that what's more important is that they're healthy and that they don't throw up and that they don't pass out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and that they are able to enjoy the rides and that they don't get sick and that they, and that they, and that they, and that they don't eat the things that they are allergic to, you know. So I had to, more often than not, say no. And that is one way that I show my children love, is that I set a boundary, a healthy boundary. I am the gatekeeper, you know, and they're little. They don't have compulsions. They don't have issues. They're just humans that want what they want when they want it, you know, and they get some things and they don't get some things. And on a day like that, they get next to nothing that they asked for because they asked for 300 different things. And I am confident that I am being a loving parent in that moment by saying no, even though it results in their disappointment. It's okay to feel disappointed. It's okay to want something and then not get it. It's okay to have a desire that goes unmet. If you have determined, based on your own direct experience, that what most of the result will be from having that thing is painful in some way to you. It is okay to say no to a desire. It is okay to check a craving and just, you know, say an unequivocal not today and walk away in the service of love, in service to taking the best care of yourself that you can. We have all seen the children that result from the parents who never say no. No one wants to be within 3 miles of that child, right? And it's really difficult when we become adults if we feel as though when we were children, things were denied us out of spite or cruelty, to say no to ourselves now in this moment. So what we have to get crystal clear on, what you need to get crystal clear on, is that it is not, none of this is being motivated by malice or by spite. It is motivated by love. And the you committing to step up to the plate and be your own best caretaker because you're it. And you're the only person who is capable of doing that because you're the only person who's there all the time to do that. Your spouse cannot take care of you. Maybe, you know, a couple of hours a day when you're in the same room, the spouse can support that or, you know, or be the champion of that. But the other however many hours when you're off at work or when they're off at work or whatever, like, you're it. It's all up to you. So can you, will you choose to show up from a place of love and make decisions from that place? So any daily goal, and it's important that we recognize that they are daily goals. Anything that we set up for ourselves in principle three is an everyday situation because we are trying to, we're trying to create a new normal. What the landscape of a day looks like. We're not going to eat nourishing food most days of the week, but then eat monkey brains some days of the week because it's more fun that way. No, that is a trap and it will end up in disaster and pain, right? We don't want that. We're not interested in that. We are interested in showing up for ourselves in meaningful ways, in caring ways every single day so that every single morning we can wake up to a first minute that feels at worst neutral. What does it look like to set healthy boundaries from a place of love, not from a place of spite, not from a place of I deserve to be punished because I have gotten to this place or because I have failed to fix this problem up to now? No, absolutely not. We are not here. I refuse to entertain for even a second that the pleasure principles would be used in service to self-punishment. Ah, why have I never said that out loud before? These tools are specific, right? And they are to be used in service to love and care, period. So what does it mean to set a healthy boundary from a place of love? Sometimes it means saying no. Sometimes it means saying, get your ass out there. Sometimes it means being wildly inconvenienced. Sometimes it means just taking 4 box breaths and letting it go, whatever it is. But I trust that you know. And if you're not sure if you're making a decision from a place of love, that's a really great thing for us to discuss in our check-in call. So if you are unclear, feel like it's too big a gray area, you write that shit down and let's talk about it together when we chat, when you're done with the course, okay? Loving and caring choices around daily goals and healthy boundaries. What I am going to get accomplished today, what goal I am going to meet today, and what I am going to say no to, what I am going to remove from the landscape of my life, what I am going to protect myself from today, right? Those things have to be made. Those choices have to be made from a place of love. Intelligent choices around daily goals and healthy boundaries are ones that honor reality. Yours, specifically, not mine. So an intelligent choice honors your history. It honors what you have learned and all those times you have been burned. It honors that you know better than anyone, including me, what works for you and what doesn't. And an intelligent choice honors any factors like age or ability or resources, like how much time you've got to spend, how much money you have to invest, how much mental and emotional energy you have available for this particular task, for this particular goal, for this particular boundary. It may be that you want to set a healthy boundary that is a good and healthy boundary to set, but that the way you're going about it is not the most intelligent way you could. For instance, let's say that you have a hair stuck on your eye. Hang on, this is going to drive me absolutely crazy. Did I get it? Oh, it's like one of those itty bitty skinny fairy-like baby hairs. That's why I couldn't grab it. God, where was I? Yikes. Intelligent goal. Oh, so let's say you have a perfectly reasonable, super intelligent, loving, healthy boundary that you want to set between you and a certain food. Let's say fast food. Let's say, for the sake of this discussion right now, this is not a suggestion, right? This is not me saying that you need to do this. This is just for, just so I have something solid to base my story on. Let's say that fast food is monkey brains for you. So monkey brains, as we know, is any food, substance, or behavior that results in more long-term pain than it does short-term pleasure. So let's say that fast food is monkey brains for you, because while it is convenient and delicious for the 2 seconds, I'll give you 2 minutes that it takes to eat it, the result may be quite unpleasant and really extended. Like you feel like you have turned your back on the commitment that you made to eat more nourishing food. Like maybe you end up feeling bloated and disgusted and exhausted when you eat stuff like that. And you know that to be true for you because you've done this before. Not your first rodeo, right? But you did it anyway. Let's say that you have committed to not eat fast food. And that is a healthy boundary that you have set. Now let's say that you don't change your route to work. And every single morning or every single evening, you drive past the one or two places that you're accustomed to pulling into in moments of weakness, in moments of panic, in moments of whatever. And so every morning feels like a struggle. Every morning, there's the temptation. And because you are not getting enough sleep and are feeling a little weak and susceptible, every time you drive past, in order to not go in there, you have to like close your eyes, which is super dangerous when you're driving, and grip the steering wheel so hard that you feel like you're going to bloody your own knuckles to just get past. How many times do you think you're going to be able to do that before it feels like too much and you say, fuck it, and you pull in? Maybe 3? Maybe 30? Who knows? Who knows? But you're definitely not setting yourself up. You're not holding that boundary in the most intelligent way that you might be able to. Perhaps you could change your route to work. Or maybe it's a matter of, in order to hold that healthy boundary, you cannot feel the least bit hungry when you drive past there. And so part of setting your healthy boundary around fast food is that you make sure that you always have a nourishing meal before you get in the car and make that trip. And if you need to do that, what do you need to do in order to be able to do that? If you wake up late, because you didn't get enough sleep, please refer to the everything tool in principle 2. You know, do you need to prep a meal before you go to sleep at night so that it's available in the morning and you don't have to lose your mind trying to do that in addition to all the other things you need to do before you need to get in the car and drive to the train or drive to the office or drive to the university or wherever the hell you're going, right? What do you need to do in order to hold that healthy boundary? Make intelligent choices. You know the answers. Are you willing to pull back far enough and high enough to survey all of the factors so that you can set yourself up for success? Yes. 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 Loving. Intelligent. Another thing about making intelligent daily goals and healthy boundaries is it's a big factor, I think, for a lot of us. Who are you listening to? Who are you following? Who are you getting inspiration from? Not that being inspired is ever a bad thing. However, if, you know, I'm 40 and I am following 20-year-olds on social media who are still living with their parents, who happen to be wealthy, who don't have any children, you know, who go to school part-time and work part-time and spend 6 hours a day curating their Instagram feed. And that is the person that I'm looking to for answers or direction on how I should be eating or what I should be doing with my body. I could be making a more intelligent choice, right? Women who come into the principles who are in their 60s, who are banging their heads against a wall because they identify as food addicts, which, you know, the scientific jury is out about whether or not that is an official addiction, but many of us would testify that the way that we react and respond around certain foods or ways of eating has all of the trappings of alcoholism and drug addiction, especially those of us who are alcoholics and drug addicts and who know what it looks like to be in recovery from those things. There are so many incredible, profound similarities, if not identical, you know, points of evidence. So a 60-year-old woman coming into the principles who identifies as a food addict cannot, in her right mind, from a place of intelligence, take her ideas from a 30-year-old woman who does not identify as a food addict and who believes very firmly that everyone should be able to eat all things in moderation. I can't tell you how many insiders have signed up who have been watching, you know, this or that professional online who is a personal trainer, who is a wellness coach, who is a fitness personality, where 25% of the content that they put out there is this amazing Mexican dinner they ate, or how it's okay every once in a while to pull through the Wendy's drive-thru and get a giant Frosty and blah, 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 blah. You know, that is absolutely perfectly reasonable for someone who can moderate successfully, for someone who can still feel peace and a sense of accomplishment and comfort with her body and a sense of empowerment when she eats those foods, even if she eats those foods, because she eats them so infrequently and they don't weigh on her mind and they don't distract her and she doesn't feel pulled toward them. And honestly, she could take them or leave them. And sometimes she takes them. And when she does, she really likes to set up the plate all pretty and put it in the sunshine and take a picture and put it on Instagram. If people who identify as food addicts, like I do, if you identify in that way and you look at these feeds, it will be hell for you, because you'll have your reality, your truth, warring against the propaganda that this chirpy, gorgeous 20-something-year-old blonde, I don't know why they're always so blonde. Maybe they're not always so blonde, but yeah, I know I got blonde hair, but I'm different. You know, like, it's no wonder we feel so crazy and out of control and unmoored and like we don't know what decision to make or what the right thing for us to do is, right? A healthy boundary that we deserve to set, that some of us absolutely must set in order to stop feeling insane and have a snowball's chance in hell of being able to make caring choices in the moment, is really being strict about what we're taking in on social media. We have no place following people who are promoting lifestyles that are not right for us. You have no business following someone whose feed is going to make you question the way you love yourself, the way you choose to show your self-care. And you're the gatekeeper, right? Your spouse, your significant other, your sister-in-law, your coworker, your daughter, your whoever the hell, your therapist might have suggestions about what you should be focusing on and who you should be following. And maybe it's super trendy and your friend set to follow a specific person. But the minute you feel like you need to question what you know to be true for you because of some fucking picture that somebody puts on Instagram, that's the moment to unsubscribe, to unfollow, to set a healthy and loving boundary so that you can take good care of yourself in all of the ways that are specific to you. Loving, intelligent, daily goals, and healthy boundaries. And then there is the future and every day, which I've already discussed a little bit, right? The future is this choice, is this goal, is upholding this boundary every single day for the next 365. Whether or not you actually manage that, that's irrelevant. You're in the decision-making mode, right? This is you sitting at the table with a pencil and a piece of paper, and maybe on the paper it says, you know, smoking. And you would like to set a healthy boundary around smoking. Perhaps to not. Shot in the dark. Is making that choice, is holding that boundary between you and smoking every day for the next 365 days going to bring you progressively more peace, or progressively more of a sense of accomplishment, or progressively more of a feeling of comfort in your body? Absolutely. Or more of a sense of empowerment? Absolutely. There is no doubt that that would be the long-term result of holding that healthy boundary. Strong choice. That is a strong choice, right? Let's say that one of your daily goals is to take the medication that you have been prescribed for a condition. This is something that I have at times in the past struggled with. Compliance, right? I was not the most compliant patient in the world. And I have some stories about the lengths to which I would go to continue to deny that it wasn't me that was not taking the medication. It was that the medication must not be working, right? Because I was in denial, because I didn't want to admit that I was not taking care of myself for no good reason other than that every time I went to take that pill, I thought of all the ways in which I neglected myself and I felt shame about it. And so I just walked away and never took it. Let's say that you have the daily goal of taking the medication that you need to take in order to be healthy, right? Perfectly reasonable, fabulous goal. How do we know that? Well, it's you're making it from a place of care. You want to live for as long as possible so that you can enjoy the people and the things that you love and be present with them until you die, which is hopefully, you know, 150 years in the future. And you'll just live healthy and happy until then. Is it an intelligent choice? We can assume that it probably is, especially if you've gotten a second opinion. You trust your doctor, right? The medication is known to deal with whatever it is you're struggling with. So yeah, let's assume that it's an intelligent choice. Future, will taking this medication as prescribed every day for the next year encourage more of a sense of peace, accomplishment, comfort, or empowerment? Yes, 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 yes. It certainly should, right? So yes, that is a strong daily goal. And you can vet every option against all of these factors. And then finally, the last one, every day. And this is when we come back to the foundation of all of it, right? Making caring choices in the moment that you are in service to experiencing deep pleasure immediately after or later in the day, or at the latest, when you wake up to the first minute the next morning, right? Will this choice contribute to me feeling sane and comfortable in my skin, or proud of what I have managed to do? Or will it make me feel strong and empowered and independent and like I can stand on my own two feet and be my own best caretaker? I got this. Yes? Will the daily goal that you are setting around taking a walk every day, will it unquestionably encourage those deep pleasures in you in the day that you are in? Yes. Will it result in more peace? Yeah, it will. More comfort? Yes. A sense of accomplishment? If you've met a goal, you're going to feel accomplished, right? So this is how we make decisions about all of the things that we are going to use the pleasure principles around in our lives, so that you can feel as good as possible, as long as possible, so that you can do the things that you love, so that you can do the things that you were put on this freaking earth to do. There are so many brilliant women studying the pleasure principles all over the world. I don't even like know what to whip out as an example. You know, you are professors, you are preschool teachers, you are doctors, you are policymakers, you are working in the United States government right now. You know, you are important, and there are things that you were put where you are to do. There are ways, there are verses that you are meant to contribute to this play that you are not going to be available to contribute if you feel nuts, if you feel out of control, if every day feels like a slog, if you just don't want to engage because you feel overwhelmed. The pleasure principles are the tool that if you practice them, you will be able to contribute that verse that you were put here to contribute. You will be able to bring the fucking power and the steam and the talent and the knowledge and the know-how and the energy and the love that only you have to the table that you're sitting at, that you were meant to be sitting at. This program, this practice, is not about being able to take better selfies. This practice is about being the woman that you were put on this earth to be. Things got in the way. People made stupid choices around how you were handled and what you were taught. And now you're old enough to correct all of the messed up stuff that has kept you back, that has held you back. The principles are the way to do that. The principles are the foundation, the structure, the tools that you need to be able to do that. And you're here and you're listening to my voice. And I'm so proud of you for doing this work. And I'm so grateful that I get to do it with you, because all of the things that I say to you also apply to me. Do you think that this course would ever, could ever possibly exist unless I practiced these tools in my own life? This course, I gave birth to this course because of these tools, right? This, I believe, is at least part of what I am put on this earth to contribute. And these tools are the only way that they could have come into existence. I want to know what your verse is. I want to know what over time you're bringing to the table that you might not have brought had you not been doing this practice, right? This is not some flash in the pan, fly by night, like, oh, I'm gonna do the HCG diet for a little while, or, oh, I'm gonna sign up for CrossFit's free promotional month and see if I can't injure myself. CrossFit can be great. Just be careful. This is meant to be in your back pocket for the rest of your life. And if you suddenly see that you're showing up more fully in your work life or your family life or for your kids or for your community or for your pets or for your church or for your, I don't care what, next week because of the work that you're doing in this practice, I would love to hear about it. Email me, coffee@strongcoffee.com, because that's the why. That's the point of this work. Not to take better selfies, not to fit into a size 6, not to finally get your sister-in-law to shut the hell up about the size of your ass. Not because of anything but you are a woman in the world who is precious and alive, and so you deserve to be cared for. And in caring for yourself, you can show up fully to your life and bring things to the table that only you can bring. I want to hear about it. So don't forget my email address, coffee@strongcoffee.com. You can email me anytime you want. I'm here. It's what I do. Okay? So two things before I wrap up. The end of Principle 3, I talk about reflection and recommitting, right? It gives us a huge advantage in getting to the right goals and boundaries, right? In laying the proper foundation for our practice, if we're willing to reflect on how things are going with some frequency daily. I think that nighttime, when you're brushing your teeth, is perhaps a great time to reflect. Like, okay, what goals did I meet? Whatever they were, whatever you did, amazing, fabulous. Take a moment to think about what deep pleasure resulted so that you can begin to develop those associations so that those caring choices become easier to make next time. What daily goals did I miss and why? Why? Was it because I wasn't approaching it intelligently? Was it because I didn't set myself up for success? Was it because I thought that just by saying, I commit to not eating monkey brains, that I would magically become capable of not eating monkey brains, but didn't change anything else? Like, what was the obstacle that got in the way of you meeting that goal? If it is still a goal that you feel you're making from a loving place, an intelligent place that can bring you deep pleasure in the future and every day, then you put your beautiful brain to the task of figuring out how to set yourself up right now, tonight, so that tomorrow meeting that goal becomes a doable thing, or at least much more likely. And the same thing with your boundaries. What boundaries did I hold? What deep pleasure resulted from me holding those healthy boundaries? Oh, look, I didn't smoke. I feel so much of a sense of accomplishment and empowerment. It's crazy. And, you know, if it's been 2 months and you're past that like initial nicotine withdrawal period, I imagine you're feeling much more comfortable in your own body and can breathe much more deeply, and you're waking up feeling great. So taking a moment to appreciate all of the benefits, all of the fruits of those boundaries being upheld. If you set a healthy boundary and you didn't hold it, why? What was the obstacle? And how can you set yourself up for success? What action can you take tonight before you go to sleep? Or what decision can you make? What way can you reorganize your calendar so that that healthy boundary can be upheld the next day? You can also do this first thing in the morning. And there's an argument to be made for doing it first thing in the morning, because you wake up and how you feel in the first minute is a pretty solid gauge on how well you're showing up for yourself from a place of caring. How well you are doing it, making caring choices in service to your own health and happiness. How you feel in your body and in your brain and being in your life in that first minute can be extremely informative. So if you wake up and you're feeling great, Think about all the goals that you hit the previous day. Think about all the boundaries that you managed to hold, and celebrate the wonderful results of all of those choices. Give yourself, I'm not talking, you know, you don't have to like throw a party, but take two deep breaths and be like, that was amazing. I am awesome. And look at how awesome I feel. And if you wake up in the first minute and you don't feel so hot, and maybe you feel bloated, and maybe you feel exhausted, and maybe you feel whatever, anxious or depressed, or there's just so many things that we can feel when we're not taking good care of ourselves. And I don't have to spell them all out for you, because I know that you know. If you wake up into that, then without dragging yourself over the coals, think about why. It's not because you're broken, baby. It's not because there's anything wrong with you. It's not because you're unfixable or unlovable or unworthy or all of the other bullshit that the beast will try to tell you is the reason why you wake up feeling like you feel. It's because you didn't meet your healthy, your daily goals. It's because you didn't uphold your healthy boundaries. There are direct associations, right? So what happened? What got in the way? And without going down that judgment path, figure out, give yourself a minute or two to think about the day ahead and anticipate those obstacles and determine how you will get around them so that you can hit those goals, so that you can hold those boundaries, so that the following morning you feel more like you want to feel. Peaceful, accomplished, comfortable in your body and in your skin, and empowered to be you in all your glory in the world. Thank you for doing this work. Thank you for showing up for yourself. Thank you for being open to these concepts, and thank you for practicing these tools. I am honored and privileged to be where I am and to be sharing this. And I'm hugely grateful to you for being a part of this and doing this for yourself. Next time, Principle 4, launch right in. Have fun. Let me know if you have any questions or concerns. I'll see you in the clutch. I'll look forward to your emails. Take good care.